Dr. J. Ivan Lopez is a professor of neurology, medicine, and pediatrics, and is the chair of the Department of Neurology at the University of Nevada School of Medicine. He also serves as the director of the Institute for Neurosciences at Renown Health. Thank you for being with us here today, Dr. Lopez.
Thank you.
Dr. Lopez, how many types of headaches are there?
Well, the International Classification of Headache Disorders has come up in the latest iteration of classification. There's almost 200 types of different headaches.
200, wow.
Almost 200, yes.
Okay.
And that classification came out in 2013.
Okay. So most people, or many people, are familiar with migraine headaches, as they seem to be a common affliction with many, whereas some experience debilitating symptoms and many don't know if they are having just a headache or if it is in fact a migraine. Can you tell us first, what is a migraine?
Well, migraine is one of the types of headaches that we call primary, meaning there is not a good reason for the headaches except your genetic makeup. There are secondary headaches, for instance, if you have a stroke or if you have a head injury, you can experience headaches. We call those type of headaches secondary headaches. But primary headaches, like migraine, they don't have any other reason other than your chromosomes.
Okay. How common are they?
Although migraines are not the most common type of primary headache, the most common type of primary headache is what we call tension type headache. Nevertheless, migraines are the most common type of headache that will come to the physician's clinic. And 18% of all females have migraines, and about 6% of all males have migraines. So they're very common.
Okay. What are risk factors for migraine headaches?
Well, the most important risk factor is probably your genetic makeup. And once you're born with that predisposition, it will depend on many circumstances, environmental circumstances and triggers for the individual to experience one of these headaches. And I'm going to mention a few. There is many, and everyone is different, of course. But some of them could be hormonal changes, changes in barometric pressure. So every time there is storm coming, some people may experience headaches. Excessive exposure to sunlight, maybe another trigger, stress, sleep deprivation, poor sleeping habits, certain foods. I mean, the triggers are many.
Okay. What are some of the signs and symptoms of a migraine?
Well, the most important and the most common sign of migraine is the headache, of course. But there are other ones. There is nausea, vomiting, there is light and noise sensitivity. And before the pain starts, sometimes a couple of days before, some individuals may experience changes in sleeping pattern. Some individuals may feel a little depressed, down in the dumps, so to speak. Some people may experience some abdominal discomfort, and then the pain comes. And then after the pain is over, and the nausea and the vomiting and the light and noise sensitivity are over, some individuals may experience some fatigue right after the pain is gone. So the symptoms are not just the headache, there are other symptoms.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines from KUNR, Reno Public Radio. I'm Ann McMillan, and today we are talking about the signs, risks, treatment, and prevention of migraine headaches. Dr. Lopez, can you talk about some of the treatment options for migraines?
The treatment will depend on many things, the patient's age, gender, the frequency of the headaches, and the severity of them. By definition, migraines are moderate to severe. So most of the times, the pain will be of such severity that individual will have to look for a dark and quiet place to rest. So if these headaches are very frequent, usually 6 or more headache days per month, then we recommend preventative therapy. And there are many medications that we can try, including antidepressants, anti-epileptics, and medications to treat high blood pressure. It's not that the patient is depressed necessarily, and of course it's not that the patient has epilepsy, but medications that are used to treat these conditions may also help with the headaches. If the pain is not so severe, then we only use what we call acute symptomatic therapy, medications to treat the pain only. Because if the pain is not that frequent, there is no need, for the most part, to take daily medications So let me say the patient has only two headache days per month, only two. The other 28 days of the month, the pain is headache free. The patient is headache free, then the individual doesn't need to be on medications daily to try to prevent those two headache days. But if the individual has eight headache days, so around two per week, then clearly that person needs to be on preventative therapy.
What self-care measures work for migraines?
It's very important that individual takes control of his or her headaches. So exercise is extremely useful. Exercise increases the some chemicals in the brain, and they fend off pain. So as a matter of fact, no matter what type of pain one has, exercise will go a long ways. Also, people should learn how to cope with stress. Some people tell me, I have headaches because I have stress. No, that's not it. Because I have stress, and I don't get headaches. It's not in my genetic makeup. But I think that one thing that helps me, I learn how to cope with stress, or I have learned techniques over the years. What I do if I'm stressed out, I just go and work out. Go for a run or do something like that. Sleeping habits are very important. People should get enough sleep. Also, eating habits are important. People should avoid excessive amounts of caffeine if they have headaches. I don't have headaches, so I can drink all the caffeine I want. But if the individual has migraines, they should be careful with the frequency of the caffeine they intake. And then they should have regular meals. And usually that's some of the self-care measures that an individual can practice.
What is the prognosis for migraines? Do they ever go away?
In some cases, they do. Migraines wax and wane over the lifetime of the individual. So during adolescence, sometimes migraine gets worse, and then they go away eventually when people are in their 20s, and then they come back when they start having children, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s in the individual's life. So, and then they go away again, and they come and go. In some individuals, unfortunately, the pain never goes away. But in some of them, the pain waxes and wanes. But it's important to understand that there is no cure for migraines. The person suffering from migraines will suffer from ever.
As a neurologist, what is the best advice that you can give your patients in regards to treating migraines?
Well, I have many advices. One of them would be for the individual to take control. They must know that this is an incurable disease. And it may be debilitating, but it's not by any means a condition that will render the patient completely disabled. It shouldn't be like that. So if the individual uses some common sense and avoids substances and circumstances that can bring up the headaches, then that's a good step. We spoke about this briefly, sleeping habits, a good dietary measures, and then take medications if necessary. And the person should be very proactive, taking their medications faithfully. And I think that will go a long ways in making the patient a useful member of society, as opposed to individual being completely disabled and unable to function.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez, for sharing your insights and knowledge about migraines, and more importantly, on how we can live with them.
Thank you.